With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Doug Steffen Good Day Download with Doug and Jay Kirshner is made possible in part by Kellitrin, which is the safe way for you to lose weight and keep it off. And also by Prevagen, keeping your brain healthy.
All right, so Jay's back from a couple of days off taking care of Mac and generally just getting out of her father's way. It's good to have you here.
And getting out of his way.
I think he spent a lot of time with Mac, and he showed me a video. Mac, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is Jay's 2-something-year-old son. So Jay is at her father's place in Cleveland. And he took Mac out for a walk, and Mac apparently found all the puddles in the sidewalk.
Oh, yes. When Papa babysits, apparently no puddle is off limits.
No, and that's what grandparents are supposed to do. And he didn't just get into it once. He just kept going back and forth and back and forth. It's very good grandparenting. In my estimation, that's what, my second grandson, who will be here this weekend and around for a couple of weeks, he's not old enough yet to be subject for that sort of thing. But certainly Miles, who's going to be 8 in December, he's number one candidate for that stuff. Jump, going to the farm, step in manure. Oh, it's perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Today, speaking of perfect, is Buy a Book Day. Takes place on September 7th every year. Celebrated to raise your awareness about the book buying market. It isn't as good as it ought to be, or maybe used to be. Is it because we can get books or the content of books easier online and in Kindles or whatever the device may be, or is it just people that are not reading
as much? I think it's a combination of the two. I do believe that there are less people reading on a regular basis. Some people might read more when it's just like on vacation or they're going to be on an airplane or something, rather than trying to read each day or each week. There are people who only read during summertime, and then like you were talking about the Kindle, where people can carry so many books around just on one device, but it's still not the same. It is not the same.
Not as picking up the pages of a book.
Give me a hardcover book any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't have time. Most of the things that I read are magazines and periodicals and things that keep me up with what's going on in the world so that I can sound moderately intelligent when I'm talking about issues or people or events, that sort of thing, which is our mainstay here. But in terms of reading a book, I have a couple of books that I'm into right now. One of them is about dogs. Another one is about the life and times of John Wayne, but it'll take me a long time to get through all of that stuff, because when I'm traveling, especially on the plane, I have a briefcase full of magazines. Some of them are farm magazines, some of them are magazines about politics, some of them are magazines about some, you know, not occult stuff, but things that I find interesting in a spiritual way. So anyway, that's my reading list. Going back to how books were made, it was about the time paper. It was about, wasn't it called papyrus? Papyrus, yeah. That's the stuff that originally I think the Egyptians wrote on, and the Chinese as well. So anyway, this is Buy a Book Day. It was National Read a Book Day yesterday in coordination. Somebody figured this out and coordinated. This is National Book Week, in fact. So,
but shouldn't Buy a Book Day come before Read a Book Day?
Yes, probably. Yeah, you got to buy it before you read it.
Unless you need to fix that.
How many people go to the library these days? How many people spend time actually going to the library? And if you're in the modern libraries, most of them are all computer. You know, you go into a room and there is a computer. Our library here in my hometown, there are, let's see, how many libraries do we have here? One, two, there are three. And they all, matter of fact, we spent, 4 or 5 years ago, we spent $8 million building a new library. And the reason we did is because of the name of the library. It was named after one of our most famous citizens, Krista McAuliffe, who was in the Challenger space catastrophe back in 1996. She was the first teacher to go into space, and we all know what happened on that day.
Yeah, she was the reason that so many people were watching that, and the students had it all in their classrooms.
Right. Yep. So in terms of, and that's maybe where the most read, that will set the tone about reading and curiosity, what you as parents do, and maybe grandparents, in terms of what time you spend reading versus watching television or things that are of that ilk. It's better. Most of the studies I've ever read would prove to me that reading is a way to expand your brain, and watching video stuff is a way to shrink your brain. And it's pretty much, that's pretty conclusively pointed out in most any study about the brain. So if you can encourage your youngsters to read, I know when the parenting department came around to reading, it was something that we shared every single night, every day. And I can now, Miles, who's the older of my two grandsons, he has a wall full of books, and he won't go to sleep, can't go to sleep unless you read to him or unless he's able to read to himself.
Yeah, it's part of the nighttime routine. It's so important.
Yeah, right. Over 74% of us have read at least one book in the last 12 months, so that's okay. There's a certain amount of blame, the blame game. Well, my life is so busy, I don't have time to read. Well, how much time do you have to sit on your butt and watch television? And not that that's a bad thing, because some good things come out of it as well. Whether it's just at the end of the day, I usually, at the end of the day, set the tone. I'll watch a 1 hour, what they call procedural. That kind of calms me down. But then when I go to bed, excuse me, if I don't, if I'm not quite ready to knock off, I have a half a dozen books. Most of them are spiritual in nature, next to my bed, and I read that for maybe 2-3 minutes, and then I'm gonzo. Mm-hmm. The electronic platforms have made it easier for you to read. 20% of books now.
At night, that backlight, that light is so bad for you to help the brain and the body calm down.
Yes,
that's why they're always
good.
Like, don't use your phone at night. Don't look.
Don't
at
have
phone.
Your phone near your bed. Anybody belong to Oprah's book club? Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah,
numbers of books. People paid so much attention to her. How many people say they read the Bible? How do I know the Bible tells me so? That's the most read book. It would seem that
it's been around
been
for
printed.
So long.
Right, exactly. 81% of us don't feel we spend enough time reading, so why don't you do, if that's the case, why don't you do something about it, right? Do something about it. If you think you haven't been reading enough, there are a lot of good things around. I think one of the things we should do here, I used to do a lot of this, and we haven't done it for quite a long time, maybe because during the DJV years, there were so many voices here and so many thoughts, I felt like I didn't need a book. So the thoughts that came from people who wrote good books, had good, interesting things to say, because there's still a lot of books being read. Being written and read. Maybe we encourage people that way. Maybe we'll do a little bit more, Jay, in terms of having people on the program who have some interesting books that they've
read. And then, yeah, I love it.
How many people know that most of the movies, and a majority, not so much with television, but movies come from, with the exception, the comic book movies come from comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But many of the good movies come from good books. And there's always, when a book is published, there's a charge, because most of the time the agents for the book or for the writers, the authors, have gotten to the people that buy the rights for these things, movie producers and directors and that sort of thing. So you oftentimes see in a movie in the credits, based on the book written by blah, blah. And that's, you know, that's kind of a good way. Some of the exciting stuff that's been written by some of the better authors. I'm thinking of the Grisham novels, for example. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, for sure. And like Stephen King. And a lot of people who have read the book first typically don't like the film because there's always so much that has to be left out or something
it's Hollywood.
Changed. Yeah, exactly. But it's really cool whenever you have an author that is the person that wrote the screen adaptation of the book, because it seems to
screenplay go along.
It coincides a little bit better with the book when it's that same author. There's a Mila Kunis film that I can't recall it. It's coming out soon, and that it's based on a book, and that author is the one who wrote the screen adaptation.
Yeah,
and so that one should be really good. It's kind of a
and there are a lot of
thriller.
Books. The new trend, or one of the new trends, and I won't put these on the air because I don't like getting ourselves into a lot of political discussions. But there are some interesting books about. I think there's a book about Sarah Palin that came out a while ago. There's certainly plenty of books about Trump. I don't know if there are any books about Biden. There are books about and by Obama. Remember, was it 68 million? Yeah, he and his wife signed a deal for $68 million to write their stories. And I'm forgetting whether his book came out. I guess hers did, too. I can't remember her. Yeah, she was out plugging it. But that's a source also. So, at any rate, we'll follow that lead, if you will. Okay, so there's a big hubbub, Jay. A lot of the celebrity news sites, the gossip sites, social media trending stories on Tom Brady and his wife, Giselle Bunga Bunga. She's 42, he's 45. They get married, whirlwind stuff, all of the things that are exciting with celebrities. So on the weekend, she let it be known somehow, or there was some... This, you know, the usual stuff, where did it come from, who knows?
The celebrity sources and sightings.
Right. Apparently she's not happy because he said, I'm quitting, and she said, great. And then he said, well, maybe I won't quit. And she said, oh, no. And so away we go. So he's got a podcast that he does with a couple of his pals, and he talked about his life outside of football, I think to assuage his wife.
How long has he been saying that because they are very hands-on parents. They have a lot of money. They have help to a degree, but they are very hands-on parenting in the sense of, well, one person is working, the other person is home. Well, when it's football season and he's doing a lot of this stuff, her career is put on hold as well. Mm-hmm. And he had been saying for years he's going to retire and she can get back to work. And then every time he's about to retire, he changes his mind. And then when he does retire, he still changes his mind.
Right.
And so it's probably like she's tired of all this back and forth. But he was talking about the balancing of parenting and football and how when he started his season one versus he's about to be playing his 23rd season, it's changed drastically.
Yeah, he doesn't think about it all the time.
Season one, all he thought about was football. He was 25 years old. He ate, sleep, and drank football, and then now he has family.
All right, so think about your family, Tom. Don't be a heel.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
People think when we do programs like this that there ought to be conflict, right? Put somebody over there that you can argue with and fuss and fight about. Nah, that's not going to make you become any better. Not going to stretch your mind. It isn't doing great work. It's just doing stuff that, you know, some people like wrestling and wrestling on the air, verbal wrestling. That's okay. If you like that, find it, but you won't find it here. That's all. Let's make it pretty simple. The team is the team. And the team is me and Jay, James Collins at the controls in our studio in Washington. Some good news to start the hour out. This is actually, you got a couple of business stories that are of interest and import, Jay. This comes from the Bridgestone Tire and Rubber Company. They have apparently invested a lot of money into farming a desert-dwelling herb to replace the rubber tree.
It's kind of fascinating. It's really kind of cool.
It's called Wyoli. And this tree produces kind of a rubbery substance. It protects itself with this rubber on the outside of this substance. This is something I don't know how to pronounce.
It's a desert dweller, so yeah, it doesn't need any irrigation.
Yep. No, it's actually quite an interesting thing. The rubber tree in and of itself is pretty interesting. This is a type of rubber. A matter of fact, I think that's more, it's, there is a part, this, in the, going to the desert, there are a lot of things that you can farm there. It's not easy, but what else, what would be better than to grow these tropical rubber trees, right? Sort of reminds me of the, there's a song, Boop, there goes another, remember that song? Boop, there goes another rubber tree. Maybe you don't remember it.
No,
anyway,
not familiar with that one.
Okay, so this is good because rubber is becoming more and more short supply. Where is this place, by the way? The Guayule Desert. Where the heck is that? It's not in America, is it? I'm looking through here.
I don't believe so. I do believe it's south of us.
South of the border, down Mexico way. All right. So we'll find that detail. It's a slight detail that we left out of the thing.
Because it's the Chihuahuan Desert.
Yeah,
It has its own Chihuahuan Desert heritage, which we do know that Chihuahua is in Mexico.
Chihuahua is in Mexico. Is that where the dogs come from, Chihuahua dogs? Do they eat the bark of the Chihuahua tree?
Maybe that's and then they get their Chihuahuas. Own superpowers. That's why they're little, but they bounce around everywhere.
All right, that's it. Okay, another business item here. The company that makes e-cigarettes, Juul, J-U-U-L, is going to pay about $450 million in settlement fees to dozens of states because they marketed their crap to underage people who became smokers. 34 different states get the $438 million. So what do they do with that money? I would like to know where that money goes. Does it go to help people who got sick because they smoked this crap? Where's the money going? That's always the question when they get, okay, the state of California just got $400 million in a settlement with Monsanto. Okay, good. So where's the money going?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And is it one of those where the civilians who bought Juul, are they getting any of the families going to get any of this? Because Juul was, they were targeting younger kids.
Of course they were.
They had all of these flavors that just seemed so much better. And
it
was like, oh, smoke Juul.
Smoke raspberries.
And it's like, no, it is still really bad for you. There's still nicotine in there.
Well, it's more, actually, there's more of a problem with this kind of stuff, it would seem, than with regular cigarettes.
Yeah, it's like this thick wax coating that gets into your lungs.
Gets in your lungs.
Oh.
Yeah, gross. But again, the question really is, and this is not, this doesn't hurt so much because it's going to take them 10 years to pay it out, but where's the money going to go? Research, helping the people who are sick, that's what is really, and there's no answer to that because I wonder, there's a little skullduggery afoot here. This sounds great, and they can beat the state attorneys general can beat themselves on the chest. Look what I did. We got all this money back for the state. Okay, so what about the people who live in your state who have this stuff? What are you going to do to help them?
I think you can contact lawyers in your vicinity and see if you have a case that can be evaluated for free if you are owed any money from this Juul lawsuit.
Free. Right.
For the price of something.
Speaking of smoking, a fisherman discovered a snag to Michigan's marijuana laws only after blowing smoke into a police officer's face. What a dummy. This guy was spotted by...
How dumb can you be?
Yeah. So this guy from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, according to the reports, officers Joseph Deppen and Bradley Solori were checking fishermen at a public launch. One of the anglers was getting his fishing license and started smoking marijuana in front, what a dumbass, in front of the two officers. And so Officer Deppen asked the man, do you know You're really going to smoke this right in front of me? Fisherman responded by exhaling smoke into his face and saying, "It's legal, bro."
But it wasn't.
No.
You still cannot smoke in public areas. You can own it. You can transport a certain amount. You can even grow a certain amount. You cannot smoke it in public areas. And you can't blow smoke in people's faces. Come on,
that's
man.
Stupid.
Even if it's cigarettes, like, you cannot blow smoke in people's faces.
Stupid, arrogant. Yeah, I had another word, begins with an S and ends with head. I'll leave it at that. All right, moving on to, I guess this is sort of back to business here. There's a new street sign, which has been put up to help a boy with autism. And this is helping the family feel sort of included. This is according to the mother of the boy. There's a street sign that was put up to make her and the family in the community feel a bit safer. Ali Harris of South Roxana, Illinois, the mother of six-year-old Karen, has autism, is nonverbal. She's fascinated with cars, so obviously there's going to be a problem when she's outside, goes out into traffic.
And if a car were to honk with her son right next to the road picking up rocks, if a car honks, he's not going to understand what's going on. He's not going to know why the car is honking. And, of course, cars go speeding by him.
Yep.
And the thing is, not many people know how to get these street signs. They don't know how, because you can't just go buy one and put it up yourself. It has to be permitted. And
you go to the sign board in most communities.
Yes, and then it has to be approved. And a lot of times they're not approved because I think it might give a false sense of security because they think, well, there's a sign, people will pay attention to it, and then drivers still don't pay attention. Or they think that it might be singling somebody out. But if this is the family who wants the sign, then how are they going to feel singled out? It's not like this is being done to them. Mm-hmm. And this woman, a police chief, happened to go into the restaurant where she works, and they got to talking. And so he handled it for her and expedited the whole situation. And she was out of town. She comes home. She comes back from out of town. And all of a sudden, there's a sign right there.
Well, the police, a couple of examples. Now, this is the third story in a row about police kind of doing the right thing. Here's from Berea, Ohio, which is not far from where you are in Cleveland. Got a assignment early this week. A woman was stuck upside down on her gym equipment. Mm-hmm. So she needed to get right side up. Christina Falls started her workout at the Powerhouse Gym. She must be some power to be reckoned with. She goes there at 3:00 in the morning. And I haven't seen this video. I want to check this video out.
Oh, yeah, no, it's one of those inversion things. And here's the kicker, though. She was not there alone. She went with a friend. However, her friend was listening to music or had headphones or AirPods in or something and couldn't hear her struggling and trying to get help. And so she uses her watch, not an Apple Watch. She uses her Samsung watch to call 911 and is even like, "I'm really embarrassed. I'm on this back decompression thing. I'm stuck in reverse. I need help." And she said, like, she was up there for a hot minute before she was finally like, "Okay, I'm not getting my friend's attention." But then when the police came in to help her, that's when the friend realized what was going on. And so one of the officers and the friend helped her. But can you imagine being that friend of like, "Yeah, I had no idea you were struggling over there until the officers show up."
Who gets up to go to the gym at 3:00 other than The Rock? This obviously this woman.
It depends what your schedule is.
Your job is, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the story of a 46-year-old woman who has given birth to identical triplets. And the odds of that happening successfully are 1 in 20 billion. Mm-hmm. You got a more likely chance to win the lottery than to make this work. The lady's name is Audrey Tiberius, 41 years old. She went to see a fertility specialist because her chances of conceiving a child were zero, it seems.
Her eggs were old.
Yeah,
old eggs. That's just the fact of the matter. And even with IVF, there was only a 10% chance. And she did three rounds. They all failed. And then she got pregnant naturally. So this wasn't even an IVF pregnancy. She got pregnant. She became pregnant naturally.
Yep.
And three identical triplets.
Doing what comes naturally. So she has other big brothers, or these three that were born, Sky, River, and Bay Tiberius. They joined brothers Marcus, James, Christian, and Max. That's a big family, man. Time to put a cork in it. No more. They shouldn't have any more. I don't. Well, listen to me. That's my value. But think about the. That's not the real story here. How rare it is to become pregnant at that age, and then to have all of the. You know, the kids come out straight and fine and healthy, and God bless her. She's pumping breast milk 7 hours a day. Yeah, right. Exactly. Woo. Unga bunga.
I'm Greg. I'm 68 years old. Grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Majored in business administration. I do motivational speaking in addition to substitute teaching. Part of the reason for my motivational speaking is I kind of feel like I have a calling or giving back to the younger generation. You know, the golden rule is do unto others you'd have them do unto you. My wife, Wanda, is a senior flight attendant. She's been flying for over 30 years. We do laugh quite a bit. I think most adults will start realizing that they don't recall things as quickly as they used to, or they don't remember things as vividly as they once did. I've been taking Prevagen for about 3 years now. People say to me periodically, man, you got a memory like an elephant. It's really, really helped me tremendously.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Greg Fraley is a paid testimonialist and real Prevagen user. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Jennifer Lawrence is one of the most respected young actresses. She's 32 years old. Apparently, she's had a problem with pregnancies that nobody knew about. So here's something else that's coming out via social media. For those of you who follow the trending items there, this is something we were talking about, the lady a minute or two ago who had, what, three children?
Identical triplets at 46. Right.
Yeah, but she had to have had some problems with miscarriages as well. So Jennifer Lawrence, who is originally from Montreal, Canada, I believe, is she not? She's Canadian. I don't know whether she lived in...
No idea she was Canadian.
Yeah. So anyway, she was living alone in Montreal. She was married at the time. Well, no, she wasn't. Didn't she get married later than that? She was... not married when she was pregnant, I don't think.
Oh yeah, she was born in Kentucky. She was doing a film in Montreal.
Oh, and okay.
She was alone when she had her first miscarriage. She discusses all of this in the
Oh, because she was in the movie set.
Bogus.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, and then when she was married to her husband, well, she is married to her husband, but then Cook Maroney, they had a miscarriage. And so she ended up having two miscarriages before having a successful pregnancy and giving birth to her baby.
What does that do to
your baby
head?
Is less than a year, I believe.
Yeah. What is that, though, when you have that, you're becoming a mother. You don't just become a mother when the baby is born. I've seen this through, and you certainly have experienced it and probably seen it as well. And women that I've been close to in my life as they were pregnant, you know, the whole psychological thing, never mind the physical, but the psychological thing, you're anticipating you're going to give birth to this human being, another being, and then something happens and you don't.
Yeah, and when you hear about those stories so often, it definitely makes any first-time parent or first-time pregnant person have those feelings of fear and worry. But when it actually happens to you, it does take a little bit of the joy out of any pregnancy that comes next, because you are really concerned about what could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She said the morning after she actually gave birth, she felt like her whole life started over again. I would bet that is... I remember when Megan was born, I thought it was like a whole new world. Mm-hmm. And you look at that face of that little kid.
Yes.
I mean, in Megan's case, she was jaundiced, and so she came out in a cooker. I couldn't go into the birthing room because it was a C-section at that time. They didn't let anybody into the hospital birthing room unless, you know, you're giving birth. So anyway, when Megan came out and I looked at her face, and, you know, I think back now to that and how she is now. You look at that. It is. It's a whole new beginning.
And the capacity of love. It's like your entire thought process restructures itself.
Yeah, right. She said, Jennifer Lawrence said in the interview, when she hears a baby crying, let's say they're in a restaurant or something, she says to herself, ah, how precious is that?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Like, before, when I would hear a baby, I'd be like, shut that kid up. And now I'm like, oh, poor thing. Such a sweet thing. It's
Has she been
so
in movies where she played a mother?
Has she done what?
Played mother in a movie.
Movies. Yeah. She's been a mom in quite a few movies.
Yeah. All right, so that's the update on Jennifer Lawrence that you didn't know. So it's great business time for Calidrin. I would think the phones would be ringing off the hook and people would be ordering ad nauseum.
That's right. You know, it'll be 25 years this April, and we've been helping customers lose weight safely and effectively for 25 years. So if you need to lose the weight, you've really got to check it out on our website, toploss.com, because like Doug said, it's so much more than just a weight loss product. I mean, we're not talking about a quick fix fad product. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. Our number one ingredient is collagen protein. It's got types 1 and 3. That's for the muscle and the joints.
All right. And don't forget the 90-90 special right now. Use the DJV code for free shipping as well. DJV code at toploss.com and the Get Fit contest. That sounds like it would be kind of fun. Calitrin at toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller, here one of the great Calitrin consultants at toploss.com. So here's what's going on with this lady, Stephanie Cook, her daughter Lucy, nervous about going back to school. She has a disability and was anxious about it, and so she told the story. Lucy was born early, had a brain problem when she was a baby, and the fact
she's
that she
basically a walking, talking miracle.
Yeah, right, that she can get out and be... so she got, anyway, special circumstances. But yet, the worries were probably not unique to her. Just, you know, she has this disability. But the message was pretty good. What would you think when you read this, especially the night before? Like, it sort of felt like a poem. It was the night before school and all through the house.
Right. So Stephanie, she posts to Facebook and she's asking people to please consider taking time to teach their kids about other kids like Lucy, who has cerebral palsy, and that there are other kids, including Lucy, who have challenges every day. They seem to almost be insurmountable. And also teaching that your kids have this incredible power of word to lift others up, or they can tear them down, and helping your kids choose to lift others up and seeing that some people might need a little bit more understanding or a little bit more patience, or somebody might need a friend or a nice word. And parents were seeing this as her message went viral, and they were reading it to their kids before going to school. And Lucy, after her first day, she said that she loved it. She loved being there. She made friends. She loved her teachers, and she was a little bit nervous of what other kids might think or say about her disabilities, but those were all calmed.
Yeah. Well, some words are so important. They really are. The blowback that comes from people using the wrong words, especially when it comes to youngsters, like even parents or somebody saying to a youngster, "You're stupid." That's horrible. That's one of the worst words in the English language, kind of like liar and... those are just awful words. You're going to try to avoid using those. So that's good. Congratulations to that mom. The Doug Steffen Good Day Download with Doug and Jay Kirshner is made possible in part by Calitrin, which is the safe way for you to lose weight and keep it off. And also by Prevagen, keeping your brain healthy.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.